Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we are going to have quite an eclectic show today. We've got some subjects that I think you're going to be very interested in. They make for fascinating conversation, but more than that, it's going to, well, it might shake up your paradigms, or you might say, Donna, I think you're nuts. Where do you find these people? Well, I'll tell you what. It is my joy to be able to bring to the airwaves all kinds of diversities of thoughts, experiences, opinions, because it allows us to choose and to explore and to examine modalities that maybe otherwise we wouldn't have even considered. My first guest today is Atala Dorothy Toy. This woman has put together a fascinating book called Nature Spirits, Spirit Guides, and Ghosts. Now, her background is quite a unique one, and I think you're going to find that this lady will have some interesting stories to share. Atala, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Now, you are a woman that walks a road in life that is a very, very unique one, and it is dealing with energy, dealing with nature spirits. Depending on a person's cultural background, they either say, yes, this is something I think is absolutely true. Also, personal experiences people have. And there are others that say, oh, this is something that would go great with Walt Disney special. So how do you feel totally at ease with this? Tell us how your life involved you in dealing with other levels of reality and with these various expressions of life that you work with on a daily basis and even have workshops about.
Yes, well, one thing that's interesting, Donna, is that most people, when you're together in a group, poo-poo the idea of being able to talk to nature spirits, but inevitably each person in a group will come up to me separately and discuss it. They'll say, oh, you know, I can talk to my pet animal, my pet cat or dog, or, you know, I've seen leprechauns in my yard. So there's something that we, most of us have at some point seen something pass by, or we've had an unusual experience that says, don't take Randall Road today, take Main Street, and you find out that there was an accident on Randall Road that you missed. Mm-hmm. So these are all parts of human nature that we're supposed to be able to work with, and we've just forgotten. Fortunately, I had life experiences that opened me up to understand and to see and consciously work with these, and now I teach others to do it.
When would you say, well, no, let me rephrase my question. For you, what was your first aha relative to this, where you go, oh, my goodness, this is something that is real for me? When did that first aha happen for you?
Well, we'll start. I was brought up as a Philadelphia Quaker, and that group believes in the inner spirit. There's that of God inside each of us. So I always worked from that perspective. When I got out of Swarthmore College, which is a very academically oriented area, I joined a yoga group, and in there, it was very common, that was during the 60s, it was very common for these people to understand that there were other dimensions you could work with. But the moment came when I was working at the United Nations, and I was really ill from environmental illness, from EMF poisoning. And I remember sitting at my desk and saying, well, if something is killing me, I should be able to see it. And at that point, all of a sudden, I shifted my energy, and I could see the energy coming from the computers. And then as soon as that happened, I said, well, if I can see it, I can do something about it. And that's when I went down the rabbit hole and never emerged. So.
Uh-huh. I like your description of going down the rabbit hole. So you're an Alice in Wonderland special.
And I am.
So you choose to explore the rabbit hole. Now, in today's modern world, we have all kinds of shows that talk about using equipment. They'll demonstrate things, and so much of it I just think is so exaggerated. But the reality is that energy has many different forms, many different expressions. And when people can get comfortable with that, and then they start reconnecting with the natural environment that we have around us, when they can be in the quiet, when they can be in those environments, they frequently will talk about various experiences. And that's one of the fascinating things about your book, Nature Spirits, Spirit Guides and Ghosts, because you go into a number of different modalities and you share so many different stories. But before we get into some of those stories, I want you to talk for a moment, because in your introduction, you touch on a number of different components. Explain what a Merkaba is. Now, maybe some of my listeners are familiar with this term. I think I've seen it, but I was not that familiar with it. What is a Merkaba?
Well, a Merkaba is the energy field that surrounds everything in existence. It's actually the life form, the light force energy that eventually becomes a solid form, whether it's a cup or a glass or a dog or a person. And people are mostly familiar with it when they talk about an aura. Mm-hmm. Or your energy field. But those of us who see into the light fields themselves, which is sort of like artist named Gray who paints all these light fields, what you see is lines of light. And if you look more carefully, you see that there's a cohesive organization to it that emerges from a center point, which is the source of all, and which is inside every object in existence. And that becomes a round ball of energy, which is a Merkaba. It it starts out with the internal shape of a Star David or a flower of life, and then becomes more complex as it grows. So if you connect into the source of any Merkaba, you can communicate theoretically with any life form anywhere in creation.
You have an explanation of different terms in your book.
Mm-hmm.
Nature spirits refer to the entire range of life forms who work within the nature realm. Fairy, F-A-E-R-Y, is relative to some life forms such as fairies, divas, elves, gnomes, and trolls. Fairy, F-A-I-R-Y, refers to a specific species within the fairy realm. Then you have the nature divas, and you go on to explain all of this, and I came across a term which I thought was an interesting one for you to use, the term break-off, and that was associated with ghosts. Why?
Well, there are, first of all, a lot of the shows and TV, you know, it's like everything else, they're drama.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're working with us in the spirit world, most of the energies are positive or benign. Now, when you find something like a ghost, in my discipline, I don't even take that as a clearing unless the person wants to help that life form to go transition to the light, because that's a living human being. A ghost is a living life form that when it died didn't make it to the other side for some reason. It didn't believe there was another side, or it was felt guilty about something it had done, didn't want to go down, so it just stayed around, or it was confused. That is different from a break-off. A break-off is when there is a very strong emotional situation and a part of the energy field breaks off of that Merkaba or that life form and stays behind. Now, the way you tell the difference is a break-off is a non-conscious object, and it repeats. It's like watching a video. It keeps repeating the same action over and over again. It doesn't think, whereas a ghost has consciousness, and it can interact at some level. So you will find at a lot of war zones, for instance, there's a very famous ghost brigade in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and many people have seen this ragtag group of farmers assemble and march on a field and then get ready for battle. It's the same thing over and over and over. You can't contact them. You can't interrelate. So That's a break-off.
And I know that in the Hawaiian Islands, actually they're everywhere, there are certain points, though, that can be very much more noticeable than others. But in the islands, in certain areas of the islands, they talk about things like this. And when you are able to talk to people in East Indian cultures, in African cultures, in European cultures, depending on where they are, these reruns, if you will, those ever repeating loops of time and or an experience, it's really quite unusual. It's fascinating how some people will be able to see it and others won't, or some will feel it and others won't. Now, let's talk about your blue papaya group. I thought that was a fun term to give to a group. Who are they? What do they do? And why were they named blue papaya?
Well, this is a group for young people, the Crystals and the Indigos and the Rainbow Children. They're children with and youth with advanced perception. And they, alas, are not recognized and honored for their ability to see beyond the three senses. The five senses. And when they're in school, they try to dumb down to be part of the group, and they try to hide. And usually they get instructions from the parents, you know, not to tell people that you can see what other people are thinking or you know what's happening in the future. So when they come to our group, they were often coming into my crystal. I have a crystal shop in Geneva, Illinois, and a lot of these youth would come in, and they'd come in, and their parents would say, "What can I do to help them?" And the child would be caved in with their heart center sunk. So we founded the group to basically help these youth find each other and to be proud of who they are. So after they've been with us for a while and we show them that what you can do, it's actually a subtle science. This is how it works. This is how you can develop your capacity. You don't have to say what you do to other people, you know, but you need to honor yourself. Then they begin to stand up straight and become wonderful, positive, contributing people. The reason they're called Blue Papaya is we gave them the choice of the name that they like for their group, and they like Blue Papaya because it was something sweet, something that was non-threatening, and something that was unique.
This is something I think that's so important, because every generation is going to have those individuals who are gifted in these unique ways. And being in an environment that's going to help them have balance, not extremism, not woo-woo specials, but really helping them to understand that there is rhyme and reason to these talents and abilities, and that they can explore them in a safe way and also not be afraid, because they've got a job to do. They've come in with these talents for the purpose of being able to utilize them, however that is going to express in their lifetime. And it is something, sadly, that for a lot of generations, this wasn't honored or respected. And fortunately, we are living in a time frame where for people of all ages, there is more open conversation about this. And it's very nice because science finally is recognizing much of this. And it is coming out in print, just like your book and so many others. And people are discussing it. There's still the intimidation, and there's still the fear, and there's still a lot of ignorance. What we don't understand, often we fear. But I think what you're doing is taking a long stride towards the positive. In your book, you also talk about photography. and how you use a Nikon camera and you shoot in color. And you have a number of wonderful photographs in your book that are in black and white, not in color. And it is just, I think, a fascinating thing. I can remember the first time, and this is years ago, when someone showed me photographs that had been taken in the early 1900s with a very, very old camera. And they had people in a sitting, and then there were these figures that were superimposed on the negative. And it was more fun to talk about these people because there were individuals in the family that recognized the individuals that were behind the seated person. Now, in today's world, often orbs are seen. Tell us how you got involved with the photography.
Well, my family has a summer place in New Hampshire, and I love to be out in nature. And one day, the resident gnome who shares the summer place with me, said, "Would you like to go out and take some photographs of fairies?" And I went, "Sure." I only had a point and shoot. So he took me out and took me to a moss fairy village and said, "Okay, take a photograph here." So I took photographs. I took about 18, and then I was just learning how to use Photoshop and all. I put it on my computer, and I just saw a lot of green leaves. And then the gnome said, "Well, look at, he said, not this photo." He went about 18 photos in, and he said, "All right, that one." And then he showed me where in it the photo it was. And when I went in, there was a little moss fairy. So, of course, that was it. And then I started studying photography so that I could do justice to the gifts that had been given me by spirit.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed your story about the ghost who washed dishes. And I thought, who in the world would want to wash dishes? But this is a fascinating story. And I'm aware of ghosts. We have them in our own home. We have energies that are here in our neighborhood. There are ghost-telling sessions every once in a while that we have because our neighbors will talk about various experiences that their children have had or they've had, people they've seen. And these are people that have lived in the area. We have a lot of woods around us. And it's really fascinating how many people have had experiences like this. But let's talk about the ghost who washed dishes and what happened so that she didn't have to continue to wash dishes. I'm being a little sassy there, but for good reason. Let's hear the story.
Well, some friends of ours who have a spiritual center asked myself and a number of friends of mine to come up and look over their place they were getting ready to open and see what they found. And while I was up there, my colleagues went upstairs, and I did the downstairs. And there was, in the kitchen, I saw this lady washing dishes in a prairie outfit. And so I said to the couple, "Did you know that you have a ghost in your kitchen?" And they kind of said, "Well, yes, we did. We didn't want to say anything about it." So they had seen her, and she was just around. Ghosts sometimes don't interact much. They want to keep their own space. In this case, the ghost had been washing dishes in a prairie kitchen when there was a Indian attack outside. And she had gone outside to see what was happening and was killed. So she was killed in the middle of doing her dishes. And her spirit was so upset that she was from a culture that didn't think that you could go to the light when you died. So she stayed there, and she kept trying to finish, clean up her prairie area and finish her dishes. So what happened eventually was that my friends and I, we went in and we connected with her. We helped her finish the dishes and assured her that she could now transition to the light, showed her where there was an opening that she could go, and she left and had peace, and everybody was peaceful after that.
It sounds like something off the show Ghost Whisperer. The enabling of helping people make the transition that they've been stuck in this endless loop. I can't think of anything worse than being stuck washing dishes. I mean, that's as bad as cleaning the toilet for a long period of time. I'm sorry. Well, it's I'm making light of it. But really, there's a lot of things that when you think in everyday life that people get stuck in. So here we have those on the other side that are stuck to a degree.
Yes, it's unfortunate. Usually you're going to find that the ghosts, they died. They were told by their culture that there was no life after death, but they know they still exist. Ergo, they're not dead. So sometimes they'll keep trying to talk to somebody, you know, to find out what's happened to them. And sometimes they'll strike up a kind of a social understanding. For instance, if you have an old inn, you might have a resident ghost. Now, in that case, I won't take an assignment to go in and work with a ghost because the owner does not want the ghost to leave. And even if I got the ghost to leave, the owner would bring the ghost back.
Right, and there was a woman that you had that happen with relative to a kitty.
Yes, kitten. Yeah. One of my assistants had a ghost kitten, and everybody had tried to help her send it away and had not succeeded. So I went in and I helped her and sent it on, and everything was fine. Then about three nights later, she came into work and she said, "Well, I hadn't done any better than the rest. The kitten was back." So then I discussed it with her, and I said, "Well, do you want the kitten to go?" And then she was very sheepish, and she said, "No, she actually liked having the kitten around. It was very comforting." Mm-hmm. So this is a situation where when someone helps you transition a ghost energy to the other side, they usually rule of thumb is 3 days. It has to go on its journey for 3 days, and then it's sufficiently to the other side that you can't bring it back. But if you transition it and the person really has some affinity for that ghost for whatever reason, that can be called back.
It's interesting you say the 3 days. In the Tibetan belief, during the ritual of the dead, they say it takes at least 3 days, and they have a particular ritual the Tibetan priest will perform with whoever's passed on. And many times they'll say, you don't disturb them, you let them be, and then at the end of 3 days, that's fine. Everything has separated, because sometimes people go through trauma and this type of thing. And in the culture, the older culture especially, they say this is what we need to do. So there are various things that they've incorporated through the centuries. And I find this interesting in various cultures. It's something that is almost like a universal awareness, especially after someone dies. So if there are any challenges or problems, and of course you can't always have a Tibetan priest or whoever around. There are things that happen, just like they did with a mafia guy that you encountered in a forest that he was still wandering because he had been murdered there. And this was not expected. He was with a good old buddy, and guess what? Good old buddy pops him. And so he's wandering. But the story about the little girl and the mafia guy was very interesting. Share that.
Yes. When ghosts exist in their own world, and everybody has a consciousness. And first, I just want to say one thing: truth is truth. So, if it takes ghosts 3 days to transition, and the seers of any culture go in to work with that energy, they are going to get the same answer from universal energy. So that's how come you'll find the same information in many different cultures and times around the world. Mm-hmm. Now, with the mafia person, he had gone for a walk with a friend, and the friend had orders to hit him, so he killed him. And so for about 50 years, this mafia man had been waiting by the path for his friend to come back to get revenge. Now, it made that area of the path, which was now through a nature preserve, very dark. when my friends and I were walking by and we saw him there, we wanted to, we spoke to him, and yes, he was ready now to be released after we explained that he'd been there for 50 years and his friend was never coming back. And as he said, yes, he would like to transition, but he'd been taking care of a young girl who had died, and he'd been protecting her there, and which we wait a minute while he went and he got her. She was 12 years old. So my friends who couldn't hear all this started on. When I waited and he got the young girl and we started moving on, but we were almost out of his territory. A ghost has a certain territory and they just stay in that territory. They don't go beyond. So as we got to the edge of his territory, he was becoming panicked. So I called my friends back. One of them went into a briar bush. Briar bushes are very good for trapping negative energy. And we transitioned the mafia man and the young lady. So in this case, this was a person who had done not very nice things and was trapped on the earth plane. But through his caring for another person, for his caring for this young girl, he actually transformed himself so that he was able to move into the light, which was more beneficial than he would have gone otherwise.
I know we're running out of time. You have so many interesting topics in your book, Nature, Spirit, Spirit Guides, and Ghosts. Folds in time, and I've known people that have had these experiences. You talk about an Indian medicine man and what he did to perfect, you know, to protect a village. You talk about so many different things like thought forms, which have been known of by many, many cultures through the centuries. You talk about a little boy that had developed an illness because he would sit while he was waiting for a school bus on top of a generator, and how this affected his physiological field, so he ended up developing a cancer. And this is something that more and more research is coming out with, how those energy fields can affect us. You go into so many interesting points of detail, and I think you have a wonderful, clear way of communicating it without a lot of woo-woo garbage. And I think that that is very important, because I think many people today enjoy having articulate, clear information given to them. I know we're just about out of time. Atala, what is your website that people can go to find out more about your work?
Sure. It's called crystal-life.com. That's C-R-Y-S-T-A-L, and then a dash, L-I-F-E.com. And if you go in there, you'll find we have a library, we have blogs, we have dictionaries, we have product that you can use to protect yourself, and access to my books, connect to Facebook. What we do is we're making this information very, very accessible to everyone, because the more you know, the safer you are.
Well, and I think removing fear is important. Understanding is important. Electricity can kill you if you don't understand how to work with it. Electricity lights our homes, powers cars, does all kinds of things when you understand its laws. And I think when it comes to the other side of life, when it comes with dealing with various aspects of energy in life, the more we can understand, the more we empower ourselves. We're never going to know it all. Nobody ever does. But if you can step away from the level of ignorance, and that's what your book, Nature, Spirit, Spirit Guides, and Ghosts, does, as far as I'm concerned. Atala Dorothy Toy has been my guest today. It's been a pleasure having you, Atala. I wish you the best in all of your endeavors. Go to her website, crystal-life.com, and find out more. I think you'll be very intrigued. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We have another guest coming up in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Welcome back. My second guest today is Colette Sinnell, and she has a book called Should I Tell My Secret? Now, this is a very important topic because even though this is a children's book, it relates to something that's in the news all too frequently, sadly. And what is it relating to? It's relating to child abuse. And Colette, I want to welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Donna.
Now, your children's book, I think, is absolutely fabulous.
Well, thank you so much.
With the way that you have put this material together to read to children. I think that so many times as adults, we forget that a child's mind does not work as the adult mind. Someone might listen to this and say, oh, gee, Donna, that really took a lot of intelligence to figure that one out. But the reality is that too often we try to superimpose our thoughts upon children, and their way of thinking is not like ours at all. Now, Colette, I would like for you to tell your story about why this was important for you to write and how you came about with the approach of putting this beautiful book together for children.
Well, the first thing, I am an abuse survivor, Donna, so I do know firsthand what it is like to live in a secret every day of my life, that silent turmoil that just eats away at you as a child and as an adult. And, you know, after I had my children, I realized I hadn't, even myself, a survivor, I hadn't spoken to my children about abuse. And I realized it was simply because I didn't know how. So mm-hmm. I started talking to friends of mine, and they were experiencing the same thing. So I realized people just weren't talking to their children about abuse, and less than 30% of people talk to their children about abuse because they simply didn't know how to start the conversation or even when to start it. So I wanted to take my experience of my abuse and use it to create a tool for anybody that cares for a child to start this dialogue, to inform them, because I believe an informed child is not a target. And the minute we inform a child, we take power away from the abuser. And people really need to understand that, you know, if we don't arm our children with information, they are a target. And I've just seen and heard too many stories of people that, you know, start this conversation with a child, and automatically, this is what I know for sure, Donna, this is it's a stressful topic, it's a tense topic, so your energy automatically changes when you talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You get tense. And our children pick that up more than anybody. So right off the start, it's a difficult conversation for both parties because it's just tense. So I wanted to write this book so that we got rid of that fear. It's just a simple story that will encourage a conversation naturally and allow whoever's reading it to them to provide them with more information than I could in a book.
One of the things that has concerned me, Colette, for a lot of years, and I know that my mother, when I was being raised, was adamant about certain things, because this is a problem that has always existed. It has never not existed, and I think the myth has to be dispelled here. This occurs in every single culture on the planet. Mm-hmm. I don't know of any culture where there isn't someone or something that this, you know, that where this has evolved. However, when a culture, when people are aware and open, and children can feel like they can tell somebody something, it's very important. There needs to be that understanding. And it is very hard when an adult who has gone through something like this, like you have your children, mm-hmm. to be able to discuss this or talk about what it is without imparting fear and terror.
Exactly.
And it makes me so sad because there is this prevalent demeanor that I am hearing in conversation, and I see it on media. I'm involved in media. I don't want to do this. But one of the things is that be fearful, terrified of strangers. Well, my mm-hmm. God, there may be an opportunity where a stranger is going to save your life.
Exactly. And, you know, Donna, before you go on, I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's not strangers, and that's what people have to understand. I mean, even if you're instilling fear into your children to be wary of strangers, 90% of children are victimized by family and friends, people that we know, people that we are telling our children to trust and to listen to. Those are the ones that are doing this to our children. It's not the stranger. And I completely agree with you that people are instilling fear. And there's a couple things that does. It creates, if this has happened to a child, it makes them become an adult instantly, because they will remember their dad saying to their mom or to their child, if I ever hear of anybody doing this to my child, I will kill them. That's mm-hmm. what a child hears. Now a child takes on that burden of, oh, my God, if my dad kills someone, it's going to be my fault because I told my secret. He's going to go to jail. My family's not going to be whole. They instantly become an adult because they're taking on the responsibility of the family. So as adults, we really need to be careful how we're talking with our children, how we're talking in front of our children about this topic. It needs to be, and I don't mean this to sound simplistic, but we need to teach our children about child abuse the same way we teach them to wash their hands, the same way we teach them to cross the street. It is just something that you talk about every day. And when I say that, I don't mean you actually talk about abuse every day. I simply mean you talk about not keeping any secrets. In my house, we created a motto. It's no way, no secrets. And we kind of play fun games around that. So that's still instilling in them no secrets. So I'm still in the back of my mind talking about abuse without talking about abuse.
You make an excellent point here. Maya Angelou, who is world-renowned for her poetry, this is something this woman went through because she was abused by an uncle. And she knew that if she told the truth, that he would be murdered. Mm-hmm. And I think she eventually, through a poem, stated how she, it was one of her first poems, how she did tell the truth to a member of family, and the very next day, the man was found murdered,
mm-hmm.
because in the cultural environment she was raised in, that was not tolerated at all. They would not tolerate it. So the man was killed. Well, mm-hmm. she didn't speak of this. She internalized all of this for years. It ate at her very soul for years, because she thought she was to blame for that man's murder.
Exactly. And
that
what is
wasn't
that saying?
Her fault. That's right. So I really think that your book goes a long way towards doing this. Now, I really liked the way in your story there's this wonderful rapport, a feeling of safety with communicating with others. What would you say if a child is trying to tell someone the truth, and in the family, and this has happened,
mm-hmm.
many women will deny that, let's say, their spouse or their brother or, you know, even incest with another sibling, this type of thing goes on. They'll deny, no, it's not, it's just not true. They just don't want to hear it. What then would you suggest to someone that, let's say, knows of this, it's in the family, to assist the child?
Well, you need to report it to your local authorities, your local victim services, because it's your responsibility. The minute you suspect, the minute you know, it becomes your responsibility. Before that, even, I would recommend, for anybody, whether they're using my book or they find another book, is create what I call a trust sheet. And I think this is really important for children, because I went through that where people didn't believe me. And a child will shut down and not tell. It's like, look, I tried to tell, no one believed me, so I'm not going to tell again. So what a trust sheet is, Donna, is whatever the age of the child, they can be 2 years old, it doesn't matter, is you help that child create a sheet with the names of people that they trust, and they can draw pictures, they can do whatever they want. It becomes their own plan, future plan, and they can hang it on the wall. So should something happen, whether it's being sexually abused, bullied, whatever an issue might be, that child knows automatically who they can go and talk to, because as we all know, even as adults, when something tragic happens, you kind of get in a panic mode and you forget mm-hmm. what you should do. So a child forgets who they can talk to. And the important thing with this trust sheet is you need to tell that child, if the first adult doesn't help you, it is an adult's responsibility to help you. It's okay to go to the next person, and you should go to the next person, because one of them will help you. But going back to your question, if I suspect something is happening in someone's house, it is my moral responsibility to report it to whoever I can and to be persistent, because as we all know, people just go, oh, no, that's not really happening. We'll just brush it under the rug. And, well, I reported it and nobody did anything. It's not my fault. No, you need to follow up. You need to be persistent, because this is a child's life, essentially. I want people to start thinking, and I'm going to make a statement that's pretty bold, Donna, but sexual abuse is murder. And I really hope when people hear that and they start thinking of that, it gives them goosebumps and they take it a lot more seriously, that sexual abuse is the same as murder. Who that child was, who that child ever would have been, is gone forever. That doesn't mean that we don't become, successful people in the future, but who we would have been, we'll never know, because that person is gone in an instant. So it is murder.
Colette, I would love for people to know your website, because I think this is an issue. Good Lord, we were getting so much of the information about Penn State and all the stuff that's there and so much more. But I really think it's healthy when stuff comes out in the open, because then there can actually be a healing. What is your website that people can go to so they can see the book and find out more about what you're involved with?
You bet. It's www.thesecrettalk.com. That's thesecrettalk.com.
All right, so you've got thesecrettalk.com. Colette Sinnoh, and her first name is C-O-L-L-E-T-T-E, last name S like Sam, I-N-N-O-T-T. Colette, you've got a wonderful book here for children. I think it's an asset for anyone that works with children, if it's a teacher, parent, friend that, is interacting with little ones. I think this is a marvelous book for them to be able to share with those children, so they come into that awareness that they can speak up, speak out, and they do have the right to be aware of how they can protect themselves to a degree, to the best of their capacity. Colette Sinnoh, thank you so much for being my guest today. This is Donna Seabow. We are going to be taking a break for just a moment, and go check out thesecrettalk.com. We'll be coming back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Seabow. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. 1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And I told you we were going to have an interesting pair of guests there, and we really, really did. Now, quick like a bunny, I know we've got a caller on the line, and for those of you listening, 888-627-6008 is the number to call into. Before I go to Cindy, I want to mention the passes, the free family passes for the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair are almost gone. I've only got four left. So if you or someone you know would love to attend this fabulous event that's coming up the first three weekends in August, that's right, it's upcoming this weekend. By golly, give me a call so I can get that pass off in the mail to you. Call me at 253-582-5604. This wonderful Renaissance Fair is the first three weekends in August. You can find out more by going to Washington Fair, FAIRE.com, and I will have a booth there. I have huge yellow banners with gigantic red lions on them. That's how you identify my booth, and I hope you'll come by and say hello when you do come. It is a marvelous family event. Well, let's go to Cindy. Hi, Cindy. Welcome to the show. Cindy, are you still with me?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Wonderful, hon. Now I can hear you. Where are you calling in from?
I'm calling from Canada.
From Canada. Where in Canada?
From Calgary, Alberta.
Oh, Calgary. Beautiful. All right, there. Let's get down to business. What I'm looking at, Cindy, right off the bat, is that you have some documents that need to be reviewed. Now, I don't know, believe it or not, whether it's an insurance document or a manuscript that you're wanting to write. All I know is that I see this file that has been in place for a while, and I'm seeing you pulling out this file and looking at it and going, oh my goodness, I really need to do something with this. So I can't see what it is. I just see the file folder in your hand, and you know you need to bring things up to par. And so that's what I think you're going to be doing in the next few months, even though you've got a lot of interruptions and interferences. I think what you may need to do is just set a time frame, maybe 2 or 3 hours, and if you have a room and you just close the door, put a do not disturb sign on the outside of the door, and just really not answer the phone, don't work on emails, nothing, just take care of what you need to do. Go through everything if you need to, update files, whatever it is, but get it done, because there is something coming up. And this is going to be more on an intuitive feel with you. It's as if I need to have all of this material in order. I cannot procrastinate on this. I've got to get it done. So this is what I'm looking at you doing. There's also something here where I am looking at a truck carrying some things off. So I believe that you are starting to clean out a lot of things in your environment. And you're saying, I want to give it away, I want to do something with it, but I'm letting some things go. I don't need them anymore. And this is wonderful because you're restructuring your life, Cindy. And this is something that takes time, it takes focus, it takes concentration. And you're doing it with a great deal of thoughtfulness. So I want to just say, pat yourself on the back. You're doing what you know you need to do. You do it in your own time frame. You don't need anybody else's approval for this. This is all a do-it-yourself job, and you're going to feel very much relieved. And then what's interesting to me is, like, I'm seeing you rolling up your shirt sleeves and say, okay, I've taken care of this, and I've taken care of that, and now I've got to take care of this other. So there's either some repair work, some painting, something that you want to do, and I would say enlist the help of other people. Don't try to do it all yourself, because you're only going to have a certain time window to get this done in. And I really feel like you're going to be moving into the year 2013 with a clean slate.
You want to be able to have the flexibility, the mobility, and the sense of closure as well as openness in your living environment, in your working environment, and you're having to be very disciplined with it. And I'll tell you what, 2013 is a kickoff year for you. So whatever obstacles you've been going through, you are getting them behind you, and you're moving forward with a clarity that I think is fabulous. So I want you to just have confidence in yourself. You're really going to be able to do this and do it well. Do you have a question for me?
What do you see romance?
Well, I'm not seeing romance on the platter of life right now. Is there a reason why you're concerned about romance at this time?
I'm in a long-distance relationship.
All right, hon, you're going to have to speak up because you're talking and your voice is going away from the phone.
Oh, hi. Yeah, because I'm in a long-distance relationship with a man. And he actually would like to get married. That's the only way we can be together. I just want to know what you see about that.
Where is he located? Because I don't see much substance in this.
Mm-hmm.
Where is he located, Cindy?
Oh, he's in India.
I'll tell you something. I think that there is a lot of romanticism here. I don't think the reality of him as a human being and you as a human being living together in a marriage is there. Now, either you need to go to India to meet him, if that's what you want to do, but I really don't see any substance in this. How long have the two of you been communicating?
Well, we've known each other for 4 years. I have met him in person twice. I've been back there. I am originally from there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just...
Well, I really don't see this having the substance to it that you really would like to have in a marital relationship. That doesn't mean he's a bad person. I just think that you're going through some pretty big changes right now. I'd love for you to focus on yourself. He is not a key to freedom. He is not a key to total harmony and happiness. He is not that. So this is time for you to really work with yourself.
Okay.
Now, the romance issue... That's fine, but I'm just not seeing that being the focus right now. I'm seeing you doing things for yourself, and that's what you should do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you don't really see that working out, then, eh?
Not really, not in the way that you envision it to be. I think there's more fantasy here than actual reality on both your parts.
Mm-hmm.
On both your parts. But I think it also has given something that has enabled you to feel like you have some kind of a, what do I want to say, a link with possibility. And I want to say, no, this is it's not, it's okay, but it doesn't have the substance.
Mm. Okay.
So just don't take my word for it. Allow things to show their own face. I don't think you're
thinking of going back to December, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Take care of yourself first. Take care of you first and the things that you want to get finished. Do that. The rest will fall into place in its own natural way, but I really don't feel it with him. But the choice, of course, is always yours. Cindy, I want to thank you for calling in, dear. I've got to go because I'm out of time.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. This is Donna Sebo. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about writing, creative writing, writing your story. 365 Days of Writing Dangerously, Barbara Abercrombie is going to be my guest. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain. You are the captain of your soul. You're the boss in your world. Don't be afraid of that. Be aware. that you have that light inside of you that's uniquely yours. You want to turn it on and keep it on so it illuminates not only your path in life, but also those that you come in contact with. This is Donna Sebo. I'll be talking with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.